Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Ephesians, please. And as you're turning to your Bible in the book of Ephesians, then turn to your cell phones and please turn them on vibrate or off or put them below your chair and stomp on them. And I promise you it is not, I'll get there. Hate to be told what to do. That's good, isn't it? I'm trying to tell people what to do, and then I don't like to do. They're trying to tell me to turn this on. Where was I? I promise it won't be God calling you on there. I promise. But God will be calling you from up here today, hopefully, Lord willing. Ephesians chapter 2. Please stand to your feet as we read the Word of God together. This morning, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. We're going to read through verse 10. Ephesians 2, Chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. And you hath he quickened, given life, eternal life, who were dead in trespasses and sins, that's eternal death. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation, lifestyle, in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling to the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, the good works. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Now, thank you for what you've done and how you helped in Sunday school. But, Father, I need your help now for this next short period of time. It must come from you. Hide me behind the cross and help us to see what you have for us from your word. Father, if there's one in this room this morning that does not know Jesus, the Christ that we just read about, being saved by grace, that today they'd have the courage to do what you want them to do and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to take on the daunting task this morning of preaching on faith versus works. It's been a topic that's been addressed by many preachers throughout the ages. Ever since back in Genesis chapter 4, when you have the story of Cain and Abel, it was addressed then. God wanting to show a picture of salvation, how to be saved, he said, "Bring me a sacrifice." Cain, you know, he went out into the field, and what he did and how he worked and grew the grain and everything, he bundled it up and brought it to God. Abel, his brother, he grabbed a lamb or another animal that he had no part in doing anything with and grabbed it, and they two brothers took those two sacrifices to God. God accepted Abel's gift and didn't accept Cain's. Why? Cain had worked to get that offering he brought, where Abel brought something God had created. It's a daunting task. I don't even know that I'm going to even be able to touch it and honestly do justice to it. But I'm going to attempt today to show the differences between faith, that is a gift of God, that is our salvation, where it comes from, versus works, which people say works is how you get saved, by your good works. And they target James, but my friend James, you read the first two verses of James, it was addressed to the brethren. It wasn't even addressed to people how to be saved. Faith without works is dead. Aha, they said. Yes, once a person gets saved, their works will show that they had faith, the gift of God to trust Christ. I'm going to start with a personal testimony this morning. Some of you have heard this. I don't know all of you have heard it about my salvation. But I was saved about 30 years ago, 1978, and on the island of Sicily. That's the football that the boot of Italy kicks. I trusted Christ. Somebody got me the gospel. It wasn't an independent fundamental piece of literature. Matter of fact, it was from a group that I wouldn't even recommend or do anything. But in there, it was a simple gift of God and said you could have Christ. And I accepted Christ. Well, I started writing home. Well, I didn't write home. I started taping those little cassette tapes where you can record in it. Because I didn't have enough character to write. I never was too lazy to write home. So I taped my mother. And I would sit there and tell her about how I got saved. And then I'd play some music that the bass there in Sicily, in Sigonella, Sicily, the music, they had a easy listening, or if you would, that kind of music. And my mother heard the story about salvation through me, and she heard this music that I was playing between each of the stories and my day and activities, how I got saved. And I didn't know, I'll get to it in a second, but she was hearing what I had to say about a person being saved. And it was so simple what I saw in that book, but it was so profound. And yet I thought if you're good outweighed your bad, you'd go to heaven. But if you're bad outweighed your good, you'd go to hell. That's just what I thought. And let me tell you something. Most everybody in this room thought that at one time. That's what our text said. But that's not faith. That's not the gift of God. That is not how salvation's got. So I would write my mother, and I would tell her. I wouldn't write again. I would tape. And I'd tell her, Mom, my life was a wreck. It was a mess. And somebody got me a book, and in that book it said that Jesus died to take my place for my sin. And I'd tape my mother, and I'd say, but in the book it said that if I would trust that Jesus died for my sin, that if I would accept Him as my Savior to pay the penalty for my sin that I owed, that book said if I would trust the Christ that died for me, that He'd give me eternal life and I could live forever. Boy, oh boy. I'd tape her this and I'd tell her what was going on in my life. Unbeknownst to me, my mother was getting those cassette tapes and she was playing those cassette tapes here. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about my mother. My mother lived a hard life. What do you mean? She had to walk uphill carrying milk and, you know, to do it? No. She lived a hard life because of the sin that was in her life. She drank more than any man that I'd ever known, even to this day. When she went to the liquor store, I know because she took her son. That was me. I'm an only son. You probably figured that out. She'd take me. I'd see her come back out. I couldn't go in and get it. If I could, she would have sent me in there. God help you, parents. God help you. She lived a hard life. She'd drink, and she wouldn't come out with one of those, let's see, Brother Moraville, what are they called there? Oh, okay. She'd come out with a half a gallon of 10 high. You say, how do you know that? I saw it enough, I can remember. She'd come out, and that lady would keep a full-time job working at, started at Piedmont Hotel in Atlanta, Georgia, and then the Marriott Corporation. Marriott bought them out, and she worked every day after drinking. I'm talking drinking it like I drink iced tea. My father left us when we were young. He walked off. She walked away with us. I was the first milk jug kid. She left Dad and went away. And my mother raised us, and I use that term very loosely. My mother never remarried, but she had lovers over. God help you parents if you're living in sin. You're destroying those kids in your lives. See, not all kids turn out like I did by the grace of God. But we ruin a lot of kids because of our lifestyle and how we want to live our life. My mother lived a hard life. Well, she got these tapes I was sending home. Man, she said, who is this kid talking, playing that music? Oh, that wasn't the kind of music she heard coming out of my radio before I left and went into the service. That wasn't the attitude that she heard before I left. She heard a rebellious, hard-headed, sorry, good-for-nothing young punk that thought he knew everything and knew what he wanted to do, but yet didn't know anything and was not submissive to anyone. She kept getting these tapes. I'd send them, mail them off to her, and mail them off to her. And you know what? I can't even remember getting anything in response from her. Until at the age of about 54, she went to the doctor with headaches. They put her in the emergency room. They opened up the side of her brain, the skull. And it was so eat up with cancer, they had to just close it back and couldn't do anything for her. Hard living, that's what you get. 54, I'm 56 right now. That's what sin brings to your life, ladies and gentlemen. Don't let the devil paint a pretty picture with these so-called studs and these women that they put on these posters and in these TV ads and these athletes and everything. You need to look a little farther. You need to look to my mama. Well, my mama called my uncle. He was a Southern Baptist deacon. He was a good Southern Baptist deacon. He smoked and everything like all of them do. That may not be true. I don't know. But he did smoke. And by the way, he's died. His wife is still alive today, and she's doing without him because he smoked. Whoa, it's getting quiet in here. And she called my uncle, but thank God this Southern Baptist deacon smoking man, and I loved him with all my heart, knew how to win my mother to Jesus Christ and tell her about Jesus and how she needed to accept Christ. And he went through and he said, and this is what my mama said to my Uncle Glenn. My mama's name was Alice. And Glenn said, I don't know what that boy has, but I want it. Can people say that about your life? I hope they can still say that about my life today, what they were saying about me when I first got saved. And she, Uncle Glenn, went ahead and told her the Romans road, just as we use here, that we're all sinners. There's a price to pay since we're a sinner, and that is hell. That's an eternal life in a place of fire and brimstone, a second death, hell. And that's the penalty for the sin, being a sinner. And he told her that Jesus paid the penalty for her so she wouldn't have to pay it. And that she needed, fourthly, to accept and trust that Jesus died for her. And my uncle told my mother, Alice, that truth on the phone. And you know what my mama said to him when he got done? That's just too easy. Ladies and gentlemen, that is absolutely correct. It is the easiest thing in the world to get saved. My mama was right. My mama bowed her head and asked Christ to save her, and with a period of 2 weeks was dead and gone from this world. But she's alive today, living in eternity, because my uncle gave her the gospel. But I want you to focus on those statements. My mama said, that's just too easy. My friend, salvation has to be easy, or not everybody would get saved. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Evans? God made it easy for the world to get saved. Why? Why does God want the world to be saved? Because in John 3:16, He says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that, notice the word gave, give, gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My friend, it had to be easier. This world can get saved. There are a lot of people in this world that can't read. There's a lot of people that just honestly don't have it all together. But God made it easy for the simplest child, the simplest simpleton to be able to be saved. God did it, and that's the way God did it. He made it simple. Can I say this? But it's the most confused thing. Salvation is the most confused thing in the world. Do you know what confuses it? Man's religion. Man wants to add his little two-bit things to what you got to do. Up in the jail, up in Shasta County Jail, which we have services every Saturday up there, and we go up and preach to those men. And they're people that come in, and we fought the battle. I don't know necessarily, I don't even address it anymore. I just get right down to the nitty-gritty of it and preaching and teaching the Word of God. And I address it in the Word of God in my messages. But there are a lot of people that come up and tell them that it's something they must do. Simply to the cross I cling. Nothing in my hands do I bring. Ladies and gentlemen, salvation's easy. It's simple. It's free. I want to talk to us this morning about the differences between this gift of God, faith in Christ, the salvation, and works. The difference are like night and day. Matter of fact, they don't even serve the same purpose. So let's get right into it quickly here. Number one, first thing, let's talk about salvation. Salvation is simple. Salvation is simple. I explained to you why it must be simple. It's got to be simple because everybody, God wants everybody to be saved. From the simplest child to the oldest person that is starting to get dementia, He wants everybody to know that they can have salvation by a free gift. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Once you understand it's a free gift, it is easy. It is easy. But the trouble is, we don't see it as easy because we don't see it as a gift. We think, I've got to pray something specifically to do something, come to church, live a certain way, good outweigh my bad, and we confuse it. But it's simple, it's free. Now that doesn't mean it didn't have a great cost, salvation. No, Jesus Christ paid it all, my friend, all to M-I-O. He went, God Almighty Himself came to this earth. He was born of a virgin. He took on flesh just like you and I have, which you and I know is a sinful thing. It always fights against the things of God. The flesh wants the desires of itself. It's a problem we'll have till we die and God gives us a new body, or we're raptured as the Christ takes the church out and get a new body. But until then, my friend, this old world strives against the flesh. Did you know Christ wore that same flesh that you and I wore? He was faced with greater temptations, testings that you and I, none of us in this room would have faced the testings that Christ faced. But yet he faced them and did not once sin. See, because if Christ would have sinned, then Christ would have had to pay the penalty for his sin. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Not physical death, that's part of it, but a spiritual death, that place called hell. Christ never sinned so that he could go to the cross and pay the penalty for you and for me. Oh, there was great cost. When he kneeled in the Garden of Gethsemane and had literally blood in his sweat, wherein he was praying, "God, let this cup pass from me." He wasn't saying, "Don't let me go to the cross." He was praying that he would get to the cross and not let them kill him in the Garden of Gethsemane before he could get to the cross, to hang on the cross for you and for me. Oh, God, open our eyes that we may see. But you know what? Sin blinds people to seeing the truth that I'm preaching this morning. What are you talking about? I've got no sin. I live right. I'm doing what I'm saying. I'm saying sin blinds us. If we don't believe God that He sent His only Son, that it says in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself." My friend, that's a sin against God when you don't believe that we're saved by faith, by a free gift. And sin blinds us, and we sit in church and we hear it preached week after week, but yet you don't know for sure you're saved. Why? Because you don't know if you've done enough. See, no one that believes that they have to work their way to heaven, they'll never know if they've done enough. Because they have to work. God said, "I'm just not going to be this way." Paul says in Acts 16:31 to the jailer that walked in, threw open the gate and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Get baptized and join the church." No, he didn't. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." My friend, it's that simple. Believe, trust in Jesus Christ that He died for your sin. That is the gift of God. It's free. The songwriter of Amazing Grace understood this truth. He said, "I once was blind, but now I see." The greatest preacher in the world, other than the Apostle Paul, was the man Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher. If you've ever read his sermons, they're just so eloquent. He's so depth in his preaching. Do you know what he described, how he described his salvation? This is how he did it. The great orator, he said, "I looked at him, he looked at me, and we were one." What's your salvation experience? If I said, "How did you get saved?" would you tell me about being raised in a Christian home? Would you tell me, "Ever since I was a little kid, I've always believed in Jesus. I've always done this." Does that mean if you don't believe, you lost it? What does that mean? How is that salvation, my friend? That is not salvation. It is a gift. It's free. Romans 6:23, I quoted it. "For by the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." See, God gave the gift. The gift is eternal life, but it's through Jesus. See, my friend, you've got to come to the place where you take that gift. I sat in a home yesterday, and this just wonderful family, and they were new. They've been coming some. I hope I don't embarrass you. You'll never know who it is. And I sat in that home, and I wanted to know for sure that they were saved. They'd been here. They smile. They laugh. They have a good time. But I wanted to know that they were saved. So I gathered the family around, my wife and I, and we gathered around the couches that were there and brought over a young son. He's old enough, about 11, 12 years old. And got them all, and I said, "I want to share you about the gospel, how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die." And I went through the plan. And I used a dollar bill. And I found out this young man, his birthday was yesterday or that day. And I laid the dollar bill there and I said, I gave it to him. But I used that dollar bill as an illustration. And I called his name and I said, if I'd laid that dollar bill right there, now I gave you that dollar. That's yours. Hey, it's yours. But what must you do before you? It's yours. What must you do? I gave it to you. What must you do? And the young man answered as everybody really answers. And he said, I got to thank you for it. I said, well, that's a good thing. And by the way, he did say thank you when he first took it. Fine young man. I said, no, but it's not yours. See, that dollar bill, you could leave the room. I could come back next week, say, did you get the dollar? He said, oh, no, it's over there. I know you gave it to me, but I have it. I said, what must you do before it's yours? I said, what did you do when I gave it to you in the first place? He said, I took it. My friend, what is your testimony this morning? Well, I've always believed. My friend, there must be a time when you can remember when you took that gift of Jesus Christ. And if you can't remember back to the time when you trusted Jesus Christ, then how do you know you trusted Him? I'm not trying to be cruel this morning. I'm trying to be helpful because this doctrine of works versus grace, grace, faith versus works is going to send people to hell if you don't have it right. You got to know when you accepted Christ. Where were you? If your mind's bouncing around now, well, I think I did it here, I think I did it here, I think I did it here. You got some good works in praying, my friend. You need to just let go and trust Christ and make it official and trust. Quit counting on your praying. That's working. Now, quickly, works are hard. From our text, we see in verse 10 that we're saved to good works. Did you know by definition the word works are difficult? It means something to be taken to task, an employment, work. Have you ever wondered why here at Shasta Baptist Church we see so many people in the reports get saved and people walk the aisle and get saved, but yet where are they? Because salvation is free, it's a gift, it's easy, but once you get saved, that's when works come in. You're supposed to work. And people don't want to work. Oh, the gift is free. Oh, okay, I'll take that. And did you know what our society, our world is creating children and adults now to get that philosophy in their life that everything's free? No, anything good in your life is going to come about because you worked at it. Salvation was free. That's the only thing I know that's free, but it cost Christ everything. But if you're going to be successful in the Christian life, my friend, you're going to have to do the second part of this thing, and that's works. You say, well, hey, Brother Evans, you got to work. You know, James said, and I already explained it to you, James was written to people that were already Christians, has nothing to do with how to get saved. Well, I believe you got to do good, you know, to stay saved and all that. My friend, let me ask you this. Does your children have to maintain perfection as your child to stay your child? The answer is no. And you know, and I know, of all parents here, none of our children are perfect. Do you know that? Well, he's gone. So I'll talk about him. You know, if one of my children go out here and they rob the 7-Eleven store and shoot the owner or the man behind the counter, do you know biologically they're still my son? Nothing changes. They're still my son. I just can't understand that. See, that's why you've got sin and your eyes are blinded, because you don't believe God, because God said, it's a gift. It's free, not by works of righteousness, Titus 2:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. There's nothing that you can do. There's nothing I can do. Nothing. He did it all, and He wants it that way because He wants the glory for it, and we're not going to get it. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, That's Jesus. To them gave He the power to become the sons of God. My friend, when we become God's child, we are God's child no matter if we're good or bad. We're God's child. God wouldn't create us in His image and give us children that are our children forever and then give us a salvation which was already planned before the foundation of the earth, by the way, and do things contrary. God is not the author of confusion. We serve or we walk in good works because we're saved. Turn, if you would, quickly to John, the Gospel of John. Look at John 15. We work or serve not because we're His servants. Oh, that means I got to be one of those Baptists. No, you got to be a lover of the Savior that saved you. Oh, that means I got to be like you. No, no, my friend, I wouldn't want anybody. Well, my good things I'd want you to emulate, but I would not want you to emulate my bad things. I want to turn your eyes to Jesus. Look at John chapter 15. Look at verse 13. John 15, 13. Gospel of John chapter 15. Listen to this. Look at verse 12. This is my commandment that you love one another as I loved you. Verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Verse 14, if you are my friends, if you do so whatsoever I command you. See, He wants us to work. He wants us to obey Him. Look at chapter 14, right across the page probably. Chapter 14, look at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Look at verse 21. Chapter 14. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. That's why we serve. That's why we work for Christ. Because we love Him. I do what I do not because I get a paycheck from Shasta Baptist Church. God forbid that I'm in it for the money. I do it because He saved me. And then He called me. And God called me to tell everybody so their eyes would be open. What? What? To the eyes that God has a way for man to be saved. And it's a gift. It's by faith. It's trusting Jesus Christ. When we get saved, we're saved. Look at verse, go back. Are you there? I'm sorry, I got you away. I can quote it to you, Ephesians 2, and listen to verse 10. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto, what's the next word? Good works. It didn't say any kind of works. It said good works. You know why? Because there are all kind of works, ladies and gentlemen. There's good and there's bad works. And let me tell you something. There's only the two. There's God and there's the devil. It's not the rap, God and the devil. And your works are helping somebody in your lifestyle. Who are you helping? Who are you working for in your lifestyle? You say, well, I'm here this morning and you're chewing me out. No, I'm not chewing you out. I'm trying to help you this morning. Our lives, we're saved. We're His workmanship under good works. It honors God. It shows we love Him. I want you to love the Savior more today than when you came in here. I want you to walk out saying, what a great Savior we got. If you're here this morning, you're saying, oh, Ben, I want you to get over. I got to get out. I got an appointment. Da, 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 da. My friend, I'm talking to you this morning. Your salvation may be based in works. Well, I come, you know, some of you, and by the way, works are things you do. You say, well, I come to church on Sunday morning. I can get there for Sunday morning. Whoopee! First of all, did you know most of you, I hate to tell you this, but you don't come to church so you can be helped. You come to church so you can learn to be helped, to help other people. That's what church is all about. That's why you come back Sunday night, because you want to learn more so you can get something from God to give to others. But I know you don't need to come back tonight because you've already reached the pinnacle in your Christian walk. Oh, it got quiet on that one. No amens on that one, huh? So everybody was planning on staying home tonight. Well, I'll just let you have that. That's what church is all about. That's why there's a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Good night. That's just three times a week. How many of your favorite shows do you watch? You probably have one that you watch every day. You wouldn't miss a grandchild's ball game. No, we're saved unto good works. Who are you working for? When your neighbors see you in your car still and not seeing you leave your house on Sunday night, who are you working for? Don't hang your head down. It's not time to pray. When they see you out in the community on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, who are you working for? I'm getting too mean. All right, I want to show you one thing. I'll be done. Matthew 7:21. I tried to hurry. The PA caused problems. The service went too long. Announcements. Matthew chapter 7. I'll be done. Let me show you this one verse, and I'll be done. I know we are 5 minutes late right now. We have no baptism that I know of, so don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Matter of fact, it's better to be later at Hometown Buffet than it is to get there right in just the next few minutes. Look, I'm in John. How do you like that? That's a good one. Okay, Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse 21. Now watch this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. I'm trying to help you. I love you. Some of your testimonies... Man, I wouldn't want to stand before God and say, and you say, why do I let you in? And you say, well, I always just was at church. We need to get it settled this morning, folks. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Oh, there you go. See, Brother Evans, it says that you got to be doing something. No, it didn't. It said do the will of the Father. And we saw the will of the Father in our text, Ephesians chapter 2. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. The will of the Father is for us to accept Jesus Christ and Him alone and trust Him to get us to heaven. That's the will of the Father. Now look at it. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, spoken out about you, and in thy name have cast out devils, raised teenagers? And in thy name, now stay with me, a little levity, but I've been pretty serious. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity. The sin of not believing God. What? It's a simple trusting what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross to get saved. And then after we're saved, then that's when you put the works into motion. Not to get saved. That's before salvation is grace, free. After we get saved, it's when the works come in to play. Who are you working for?
Well, I've been saved so long, Brother Evans, and I've been in this church and that church, and you know, and I've done all my duty, and da-da-da-da-da.
Who are you working for this morning? I just want to ask you, who is getting the benefit of what you do with your life? And by the way, when I point this one finger out here, I got three pointing back this way at this old man. But we need to ask ourselves the question before we walk out into that street today. Do I really believe saved by grace? Did I do it the way God said to do it? Or have I been just kind of work in my way. You know, sometimes on and off, da, 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 da. You need to know that on the 7th of June, 2009, you took and asked Christ to be your Savior and settle it once for all. God does not lie. He will save you if you ask. And then you need to ask the question, who's going to benefit? Who am I going to be working for? When church is on, where will they see you? Working for the Lord? In church? On the way to church? In your neighborhood when you wave at the people as they're getting home from the lake? On Sunday afternoon? As you're driving along in your tie on 110 degree weather as you're going back to church? You know, but those same people, when they face the giants they'll face in their life, they'll know where to come to.